Hallelujah. If God's been good to you, you ought to give him the praise and magnify him. We give you praise, oh God. We bless your name. We worship you, oh God. Praise God. I love the presence of God I feel in this house today. I love the energy of the kingdom of God that's flowing through this place like a river of living water, like a well springing up into everlasting life. And it's not just springing up here, it's flowing out into the city. The vision of the prophet was prophecy. And every time this happens, it's not just about what we're doing here, although that's extraordinary, but it's flowing out into the city. And before it's over, it'll be waters that cannot be passed over. Somebody's going to have to deal with the kingdom of God because of your prayer and because of your worship today. Now let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah. We give you praise, oh God. Praise God. Appreciate all the areas of ministry that are busy and working this morning and doing such a wonderful job and creating an atmosphere and a climate for us to come in and enjoy the presence of God. We are so thrilled this morning to have Brother Wade Bass with us, and we love his ministry and we love what he's doing, and he's been so very effective in so many areas of the apostolic faith. I think he's walking in some of the greatest moments of his ministry right now, and we're gonna ask that he would tell us about his recent trips to Africa, but I'll probably ask that he do that tonight because our Sunday school staff and kitchen staff and everybody will be in the house, and we want to share that. But we love you, Brother Bass. We want you to come, and there's a platform here for the Word of God already. We just want you to come, take your liberty and preach. Tell us what the Holy Ghost is saying today.
Well, can somebody give the Lord a wonderful praise offering right now? Can somebody make a joyful noise? Come on, let's make a joyful noise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! My, what a wonderful presence of the Holy Ghost is in this house. Amen. In a world filled with shock and shame and degradation and guilt and sorrow and pain and everything else, it's wonderful to walk into a place and feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. Are you happy to be a part of new life today? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I am rejoicing this morning for what I feel in the Holy Ghost and what I feel in this house. And we're going to have a wonderful time today. God's going to do some good things for us. And I believe before we leave this place tonight and the lights are out, souls are going to have the Holy Ghost. Miracles are going to be performed. Lives are going to be changed. Hey, I want my life changed today. Amen. I don't ever want to get into a place where I can't move up a little bit higher. I can't advance a little further. I don't ever want to get to a point where I feel like I have arrived and I don't need anything else. Amen. That's what happened to the man that built the bigger barns. And then he said, sit back, soul, take your ease. And that's when the judgment of God came upon him. I don't want God's judgment. I want his blessings. Anybody feel that way today? Amen. Thank God. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3. I'm reading 3 verses of scripture, verse 17 through verse 19. While you are finding that in scripture, I will talk a little bit more tonight about the trips, the things that God has been doing in the continent of Africa as well as India, two areas that we're focusing on right now in international missions works. But I do want to say that we have people in India that are connected to our service right now. Let's make them welcome in Jesus' name. Would you do that? Amen. We also have people across the continent of Africa that are connected. Would you welcome them in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. And then yesterday when we arrived in Birmingham and we're checking into our hotel, I met some of the sweetest and finest people there at the hotel desk. They were just so overly kind, and I appreciate that so much. In fact, I guess the head lady at the desk, even right now, is supposed to be connected to this service. So if she is, would you make her welcome right now? Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you all need to go visit them. They're wonderful and friendly people, and they belong at New Life. Is that how you feel? They belong here. They would fit in right perfectly. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, he said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. The very first word of verse 17 says, although, and he lists a number of things that could happen from a negative position, but he gets to verse 18 and he says, yet. Amen. Although, yet. So I'm going to preach this morning for a few minutes on this thought. You've got to have a yet. Amen. You've got to have a yet. And everybody shout amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. I don't think that it's that necessary for me to say it, but I will remind you that we are living in rapidly changing times. I don't know that I have ever lived 2 years of my life and saw the changes that have been taking place, not just in America, but also I have observed it as I have traveled in other parts of the world. It is a time where things are changing rapidly. It seems like everything that we have considered in the past to be stable, those things are being shaken. Our way of life is being shaken. Someone said, and I don't really want to get into all of this today. We've probably heard enough of it. And we're all probably, we all probably have COVID exhaustion, and I understand all of that. But just let me make a couple of quick statements. There's some folks that say, I'll be glad whenever we get back to normal or we get back to what it was before COVID. I have to tell you, it's never going back to what it was. We may as well accept that. We may as well believe that and realize there's a reason for all of that. And so our way of life has been shaken. Our system of government right now is under attack, and it's being shaken. Our economy is being shaken. And so to a lot of people in our world, the future is looking very uncertain. And so we find that that is, of course, already told that this, we're told in the Word of God that that is going to be the case of the end time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 and 27. He said, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So there's a lot of shaking going on in our world today. But the key is you have got to be in a place where you will not be shaken. No matter what happens to you, no matter what happens in the world around us, can I remind you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I don't have a sob story. I don't have a message today of doom and gloom, but I have a message that says, even though the world around you can be shaken, your feet can be set upon the solid rock. For Jesus himself said, upon this rock I will build my church. and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You're in the safest place you could ever be in today, in the church of the living God, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, I'm not looking for my security or my hope in the politicians and in the health officials. I've already found where my hope is. I've already found where my peace is. I've already found where my joy is, and it's in the Holy Ghost. Somebody clap your hands and give him praise right now. There are some things that we don't think about at all, really. We don't dwell on them because we're certain that those things are going to remain the same. For instance, in your very physical body, you don't have to tell your lungs to breathe. You don't have to tell your heart to beat. God has so established that you have involuntary muscles in your body, and he set some things in order. You don't wake up in the morning or the middle of the night and remind your lungs to keep breathing so you stay alive during the night. You don't have to do that. You go to sleep knowing that all night long you're just going to keep breathing. Amen. Your heart's going to keep right on beating. You're not really that greatly concerned about it. You go to bed at night knowing that if the sun has set in the west, then it's going to rise again in the morning in the east, because you're just confident that there's some things that are never going to change. Amen. You don't have to worry about the law of gravity. You walk out of this building today, you're not worried about floating off into space, because God has set some things in order that we take great confidence in. And so in this age of uncertainty, thank God there are some things that you and I can count on. Isaiah 40 and 8 said this: the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 24, he reiterates that in another manner. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So thank God, you and I today have in our very possession some things that we can be confident in. You can be sure that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. You can be confident that if the word of God said it, it will come to pass. It is sure. It is steadfast. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, there's a preaching spirit in this house today. Amen. For many years now, the proponents of the humanistic way of thinking, they have promoted the idea of no absolutes. We're not where we are today by accident with regards to where the world is concerned. They have been seeding the attitude and the belief system and all of that which we see going on in our current society. They have been seeding that for a long time. It goes all the way back to the 50s and the 60s of the previous century, when they began to deal with and introduce into the higher levels of learning this humanistic manifesto, this idea that there are no absolutes, that there is no God, there is no supreme being that you have to answer to, that you're a God to yourself, and if it feels good, then just go ahead and do it. What they have done is they have created a mindset in our world that says everything is relative. It's relative to how you feel. It's relative to your circumstances or to your situation. And so in a very flagrant manner, we see this invading the ranks of society. And even sometime in a subtle way, we find it showing up in the church, so that now we're dealing with what we call circumstantial or situational ethics. Our response to a given situation or even to a set of circumstances is often based on our emotions and not on an absolute that we have established in our life. I feel this in the spirit today, that we live in a day where that you and I have got to reach a place where we don't make decisions based on our emotions. We don't make decisions based on how we feel, but we make a decision based on the fact that we have established some absolutes. We have established some absolute things in our heart, some principles. Your emotions are not a good barometer by which to make decisions. Principles and absolutes are things that we establish in our heart, and they make for us a decision before there is a decision that needs to be made. Amen. That's the part that that absolute plays. That's the part that that decision has made, because your emotions rise and fall. Your feelings rise and fall. You may not feel like talking in tongues this morning. You may not feel like going to church. You may not feel like clapping your hands, but we don't live by our feelings. Come on now. I said we don't live by our feelings. I want you to notice what Paul said. He said, "For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." What Paul was saying was, there's sometimes I don't feel anything, but there's some things I know. Hallelujah. When I got up this morning, I'm like Job, I know my Redeemer liveth. Ooh, glory to God. The whole world may be going crazy, but I know I serve a God who is alive, who is well, and who is still able. But my world's upside down. But my world is chaotic. But my world is full of trouble. But my life is in a crisis, it seems, from one week to the next. Well, you got to remember this. Paul writes in Romans 8 and 28, and we know, hallelujah, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. When I don't understand what's happening, I know something. Whatever's happening, God's going to take it and work it out for my good. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. I know it's hard to clap your hand when you're in the middle of it, but you can clap your hand when you know something. You don't have to feel it as long as you know it. I may not feel God, but I know he's still alive. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I may not feel his presence, but I know he's right there. You know why I know he's there? Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I will be with you even to the end of the world. So when you don't know what to do, then just do what you know. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep walking. Now, our text this morning from the prophet, he is describing a set of circumstances that are most adverse. They are quite negative. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now, probably most of us who get our groceries from either Kroger or Publix or Walmart or wherever it might be, you might not be able to identify with the description of these negative circumstances as he is able to. So while we can't maybe identify with his description, we would be able to identify if he had talked things like this. Although I've lost my job, although I've got no more money in the bank, although my husband has walked out on me, although my wife has left me, although my physical health is at its worst, although my life is in a state of chaos, then we can understand what the prophet was saying. Well, that's exactly what he was saying. He was saying, although my circumstances are negative and upside down, and there are problems that are more than it seems like I know what to do with, he then follows with this statement, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. My, hallelujah. Here is what the man is doing. He is clearly stating that my circumstances will not dictate to me my response. My circumstances are not going to control me. My situation is not going to paralyze me. That's why we got folks in this house this morning clapping their hands and raising their hands. It's because they made up their mind a long time ago. It may not be the best of times, but I'm still going to praise him. Amen. He is saying, I am not going to allow my circumstances to determine whether or not I praise the Lord. I will not allow my situation to decide for me whether or not I am going to live for God. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. You know what? Although everything in the world can go wrong, you got to have a yet. I said, you got to have a yet. Although my wife walked out, yet will I still serve the Lord. Although I've lost my job, yet I'm going to live for God. Come on. Although my children are acting crazy, yet shall I praise the Lord. Yet will I worship my God. Come on, you got to get a yet down in here. You see, you can't always control the all those. I said, you can't always control the all those. Because I got news for you. Life is not going to always be easy. Life sometimes going to deal you some miserable moments. Life is going to deal you some horrible circumstances. Come on, I'm not doom and gloom this morning. I'm trying to give you hope. The prophet of old said, when the enemy comes in like a flood. He didn't say if the enemy comes in like a flood. He said when. It's not a matter of if. It's only a matter of when. You can't control the when, but you can control your response to the when. Come on. I'm not boasting, but the reason I'm still here preaching after 53 years of preaching is I've had a lot of all those. But I made my mind up a long time ago I was going to have some yets in my life. I can't control the all those. I can only control the yet. I can't hear you. Jesus talked about the house that was built on the rock and the house that was built on the sand. And then he said, when the storm arose, because it don't matter whether you build your house on the rock or the sand, the storm's going to try both houses. So even though you're settled and you're solid and you are built on the rock Christ Jesus, just remember the flood is going to try your house. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're living and you're breathing, you're going to have life problems. Well, I thought when I got the Holy Ghost and I started living for God, all my problems would be over and all my troubles will be done. But it looks like I've been fighting hell more than I've ever fought it in all my life. I've never fought. Hello? The devil is not going to take your walk with God sitting down. Trust me, he's going to throw everything and then some at you to try to get you to give up and to lose hope. But that's when you back up and say, devil, if that's the best you've got, you better come up with something better. Because I got a bigger yet than any although you can hand it me. I got a... Come on. I said my yet is bigger than the job loss. My yet is bigger than the life problems. My yet is bigger than anything you can hit me with. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to see in that verse. Here's what I want you to see in what he said. Listen to what he said. Although the fig tree shall not. Somebody say shall not. Somebody say shall not. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. Although the labor of the olive shall fail. Do you understand that when he writes this, he is not writing from the perspective of current circumstances? He's not writing it from the perspective of the here and now. He's not going through that yet. You know what he's doing? He's saying, I'm setting an absolute in my life. I'm making a decision now before it ever happens. So when the labor of the olive fails, I already know what I'm going to do. When there's no herd in the stalls, I already know what I'm going to do. My God, hallelujah. Amen. What you got to decide is that even though it's coming, and I know it's coming, I know how I'm going to meet that. Listen, Joseph understood that there was going to be 7 good years in the land of Egypt, and it would be followed by 7 lean years, 7 years of famine. Joseph did not spend 7 years of good and plentiful trying to abort 7 bad years. It's not what he did. He spent the 7 good years getting ready for what he knew what was coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what? There's some of us that spend all of our time trying to avoid problems, trying to avoid trouble, trying to avoid negative circumstances. Amen. The world, oh, help me right now, because I just had a thought come through my mind that I've not even talked about, I've not even said, at least in the middle of what I'm preaching right now. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. They told us that we had social distance for 14 days and we'd wear masks everywhere we go, then we wouldn't get the virus. After 2 years, we're still getting the virus because you don't stop a virus. I know you don't want to hear no more about that. And I don't even want to preach no more about it, but I'm just bringing to you a current reality. That's what they've been telling us all along. Wear it and you won't get it. That's crazy. Because you don't stop a virus. Huh? Amen. I just came back from Africa. I checked while I was there. And in 2020, they had 46,000 deaths in the continent of Africa from COVID in 2020. You know how many deaths they had from malaria? They had over 700,000 deaths from malaria, and 67% of them were children 5 years old and younger. But they didn't put nets on everybody to keep the mosquitoes off, because that's where malaria comes from. I know, I lost half of you right there. Come on, church. What am I trying to communicate to you? I'm communicating that there's some things you're not going to stop. I don't care how hard you try. You just got to make up your mind. I'm getting ready for it. All hell may break loose in my life tomorrow, but when it does, I'll be ready. I'll be ready. Joseph was saying, we got 7 bad years coming, but we're going to be ready for those 7 bad years. Come on. Quit spending all your time trying to abort trouble. Because you're not going to have, it's not going to happen. Make up your mind right now. I'm making a decision right now before I need to make a decision. I said, I'm making a decision before I need to make a decision. So the decision that I make right now will make my decision for me in the future. Hallelujah. So when I lose my job, I'll still show up to church and I'll still run the aisles and I'll still lift my voice. Because you got to understand, I'm not praising because of my circumstance. I'm praising because of the God that will bring me through my trouble. I got to hurry. Y'all making me want to preach all over the place this morning. I got more stuff coming to my mind right now than I can even say. Paul said this. He said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. But I have learned in whatsoever state that I am therewith to be content. He says, I know how to have plenty and I know how to have nothing. You see, there's a lot of folks that have learned how to live for God as long as they were barely making it from paycheck to paycheck because they were dependent on God to help them survive. But when they all of a sudden got a good paying job and money was coming in and everything suddenly changed, they didn't show up no more. You know why? Their contentment was in their circumstance. There's a lot of folks that can be contented in bad times but don't know how to be contented in good times. And the reason is because their contentment is in their circumstance. Paul said, I've made my mind up. My contentment will never be in whether I have plenty or whether I have nothing. My contentment is going to be in my God. So no matter what's going on in my life, I'm still serving God. I'm still living for God. Man, I've decided a long time ago how I'm going to respond. I already made my mind up. I took backsliding out of my vocabulary years ago. It's not in my dictionary. It's not in my vocabulary in living for God. When I open my dictionary up, I see faith, I see hope. I see continuing on. I know what Jesus meant, but he told them one day they came to him saying something that somebody else said. And he said, you just go back and tell them. You go back and tell them, I walked yesterday, I'm walking today, and I'll be walking tomorrow. You know what he was trying to tell them? It doesn't matter what you say, what you do, you're not going to stop me from doing what I'm doing. And I got news for the world, and I've got news for the government, and I've got news for my friends and family and everybody else, and the devil included, you're not stopping me from doing what I'm doing. You're not going to trip me up. You are not going to govern my response. You see, here's a lot of the issue. People got this idea that if my circumstances were better, then I could do a better job serving God. Are you still with me? I'm going somewhere, and I'm not very far from being there, all right? I think. Now, the Holy Ghost may take longer, but it may not take me as long. They got this idea that if things were different, if things were better, I could do a better job at serving God. I could be a better child of God. I could be a better Christian. I could be a better soul winner. Can I tell you, perfect circumstances have never proven anything. Amen. I said, perfect circumstances have never proven anything. Lucifer was the leader of worship in heaven. He was the choir director. The Bible teaches us, but when you go back and study the root word of Lucifer, it comes from an original Hebrew word which means to act clamorously foolish. It means to rave. His job in heaven was to rave about God. He was raving in heaven before they ever had raves down here on earth. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. His job was to get every angel in heaven shouting, dancing, worshiping, magnifying God. He was in the glory world. He was in a perfect place. He was in a perfect environment. And in that perfect environment, he got lifted up within himself and he fell from his position. Amen? He was designed by God. He was ordained of God to be the leader of worship. Now, when you read Ezekiel and you read Isaiah, you read his fall, and in one record, we find that his fall was due to a violation of God's holiness, and the other one describes his violation of God's authority. So you have violation on both hands, but that was not his root problem. His root problem was he took his eyes off of God and put them on himself. He ceased to be a worshiper. And when he ceased to be a worshiper, that is when he began to fall. And it's because he made up his mind, amen, I'll be as great as God. I'll sit my throne above his throne. And he went on down and he fell from where he was at. My point is that perfect circumstances do not prove anything. Don't wait until everything is okay. I'm talking to somebody right now. Well, if I could get my life straightened out, if I could get my world straightened out, if I could get some of these problems solved, then I'd make a commitment and serve God. You trust me when I tell you that the devil will see to it that you'll never get your problems straightened out. You'll never get your situation right. Amen. So what you got to do is say, in spite of where I'm at, and in spite of what I'm going through, and in spite of my inequities and my problems, huh? You have some folks out there that their brain's so messed up, they got this idea, I'll live for God once I find the perfect church. Excuse me? Hey, amen. We're not perfect. We're just forgiven. We're still working on our perfection. Hallelujah. I said, I don't know if we can ever have revival and pray a bunch of folks here, because we got such an imperfect church. I'm going to tell you something. I'm almost 69 years old. I've lived long enough in life. I've seen a lot of imperfect parents, but they still had children. Come on. Don't wait for the church to get perfect to have babies. You got to say, although we're not perfect, we're going to have revival. We're going to see the Holy Ghost move. We're going to see a breakthrough. God's going to do great things. You got folks that say, you know what, if things were different in my life, if my world was different, if I didn't have to live with the woman I live with. I'm just being real this morning. You'd be surprised the excuses some folks use. If I didn't have to live with the man I live with, if I didn't have to work on the job that I'm working on, if I didn't have to work around the people I work around, if I didn't have to live in the neighborhood that I live in, if I had a better car to drive, if I was making more money, excuse me? Amen. Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment. They didn't even have to pray for the Lord to show up. All they had to do was show up, because every evening God showed up. They just had to go to church. That's all they had to do, because God was already showing up. They had confidence, and they were in a perfect environment, and they failed in that environment. What this preacher is trying to convey to you is perfect circumstances prove nothing. I want to tell you where the proof is. The proof is in the fact that you look at your world and you realize it's not a perfect world, but I'm living for God anyway. I may be a weak individual, but I'm going to live for God anyway. I may fail, but if I fail, I'm getting back up again. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. What did the old preacher say? He said the righteous fall 7 times, but they get back up again. You know what the key is? You just got to get up one more time than you failed. You can let your failures control you. Or you can let your yet make up your mind for you. Hallelujah. Man, if I could just get some things straightened out in my life, if I could break this drug habit, I'd live for God. If I could break this addiction to alcohol, I could live for God. Why don't you let Jesus help you? Quit trying to do it yourself, because if you try to do it yourself, you're never going to make it work. It's never going to happen. You got to have a yet. You got to say, you know what? I may be addicted to alcohol. Although I'm addicted to alcohol, yet I'm going to that altar. Although I'm addicted to drugs, although, yet I'm still going to live for God. I'm going to go to that altar, because that's where my confidence is. That's where my hope is. Amen. You got to decide. You got to make up your mind that although this is the situation, I'm going to talk maybe more about it later, but I just went to the country of Gambia. Gambia is a country that the 95%+ of the population, they're Muslim. And so that's a pretty stronghold on a nation. To my knowledge, there is no apostolic church there, at least until I went. We started one. Hallelujah. As far as I know, we started the first apostolic church in the country of Gambia. You may say that looks like an impossible situation. Not till God gets involved. When God gets involved, it changes the impossibility to a possibility. Go ahead and stand. I'm going to quit. I'm not through, but I'm going to quit. Amen. You see, there comes a point in your life. Everybody hear me? You hear me? There comes a point in your life where you say, I got to have a yet. I got to have a yet. I've got to make a decision on some things. Because I've already lived long enough to know these things are going to happen. Here's the beautiful thing. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Not long ago, I decided I'd look a little closer at that word rejoice. Because sometimes when people read that, they get to thinking, well, it sounds to me like I got to rejoice in my circumstance. That's not what he said. He said, I will rejoice in the Lord. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. His wives, his children had been kidnapped. The whole city had been burned with fire. And yet, after he got done weeping until there was no more power to weep, the scripture said he got up and he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he went out and recovered everything. So, I looked at that word rejoice a little closer. And I found out that one of the defining words from its original form is this. It means triumph. Yet I will triumph in the Lord. I'm going to be victorious. That's why if you ever get a yet in your spirit, you don't have to worry about where the victory's coming from. You're not going to worry about whether or not you are going to have the power to be victorious. He said, my victory is in my God. I will triumph in the Lord. I'm going to be victorious in my God. The psalmist said this in Psalm 68 and 13. Though you have lain among the pots, yet shall you be as the wings of a dove covered with silver in her feathers with yellow gold. This is a description of the potter's field. Whenever the potter would damage a vessel and it was no longer beneficial to be reworked or redone, he would cast it out into a pile of broken pottery. And the psalmist is saying this, though you have lain among the pots, though you have been in the broken pottery of humanity, though where you have been living, and I feel what I'm saying right now in the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to hear what this preacher's saying right now. Though your life has been among lives that are broken, that are dysfunctional, your world has been surrounded by that which seems to be hopeless. You found no hope in your family, no hope in your psychiatrist, your psychologist, or anybody else. You've been laying among the pots, the broken pieces of humanity. He said, though you've lain among the pots, let me tell you what you're going to be like. You're going to be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. You know what he's saying? He said, you're going to be like a dove that rises from the shattered pieces of humanity. And you're going to start soaring. And your feathers are going to have the glint of the beautiful silver blue sky and the sun shining on those feathers. The golden sun and the beautiful sky as it reflects. Come on, somebody here today needs to hear this preacher. If you get a yet in your life, you get up from where you are. If you get a yet in your heart, you get up from the place that you're in. I don't care how broken your world is. I don't care how broken your life is. You'll get up. I said you'll get up. You'll come up from where you are. Young people, hear this preacher. You're going to deal with life. Get you a yet in your heart. Young men, you're going to deal with your own world and your own problems. Get a yet in your spirit. Hallelujah. I feel something so powerful in the Holy Ghost right now. I feel something just shaking in this house right now. There's somebody you ought to get out of your pew and say, you know what? It's time for me to fly again. I've been down here among the pots. I've been down here among the broken pieces. I've been down here among all the shattered remains of broken lives. I'm ready to fly again. Woo! Hallelujah. Anybody want to walk up this altar this morning and say, I'm coming to get me a yet today. I'm coming to get me a yet. I'm coming to get me something in my spirit that I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to live for God.
Under my feet.
And I've
got the victory.
Victory.
I got victory.
My dance,
my dance,
crusading
under my
feet.
Yes. I
declare,
I got the victory.
I got victory.
My dance,
my dance,
crusading
under my feet.
And I declare,
I declare,
hey, hold on a minute.
I got victory.
We're not just going to do a fancy dance here this morning. I think somebody ought to cut loose in the Holy Ghost. Somebody here this morning that you've been struggling, you've been up against a brick wall, you've had all kinds of problems. When they start singing that again, don't look around you. Just make up your mind. My dance put Satan under my feet. When I walk out of here this morning, he's not riding on my shoulder. He's under my feet. He's not talking in my ear anymore. He's under my feet.
Yes, my dance.
Put Satan under.
Come on, come on. Somebody cut loose in the Holy Ghost. I got a yet. I got a yet. I got a yet. Yet will I praise him. Yet will I shout. Yet will I dance. Yet will I run. Yet will I rejoice. Yet will I be triumphant.
I got victory.
I got victory.
I got victory.
Victory.
I got 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 victory.